عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the hellfire. Back to the aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah. We come to his statement as translated. And we say, indeed the speech of Allah is not created. And He, glorified is He, never created anything except that He said to it, be, and it is. As He has said in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 40, after I say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And we only say to a thing, if we want it to take place, is our statement be, and it is. We were at this statement weeks ago, before we took a break last week, and then the week before that, reviewing the entire aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. I was delayed in getting back to this point, and I show you why. When I was in Medina and we were studying this point of Allah, the speech of Allah, we had it twice a week, I think, or three times a week for the whole school year. And the book was almost, 400 pages of a big book. And this is just to show the issue of the Qur'an being the speech of Allah and how vast this topic is, and trying to summarize it and make it simple in a manner that's beneficial for all of us. I always seem to find it quite difficult. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His success in trying to present this. We had begun with some statements showing that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, as we had mentioned from Surah Al-Jathiyah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's statement in verse number 6, tilka ayatullahi natluha alayka bilhaqqa fabi ayyi hadithin ba'da allahi wa ayatihi yu'minun. These are the verses of Allah, we recite them to you in truth, and which speech after the speech of Allah and His ayat will you believe in? If you don't believe in the speech of Allah and His ayat, then what speech would you believe in? As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah, in ayah number 50 of Surah Al-Mursalat, which is the last ayah of the verse, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And which speech will you believe in after this one? Referring to the Quran. Which speech would you believe in after this one? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran, He has referred to His speech, or He has referred to His book, the Quran, as the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, just as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a few authentic hadith, or in many authentic hadith, has referred to the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam says in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ الْأَمْرَ فِي السَّمَاءِ ضَرَبَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بِأَجْنِحَتِهَا خُضْعَانًا لِقَوْلِهِ كَأَنَّهُ سِلْسِلَةٌ عَلَى صَفْوَانٍ فَإِذَا فَزَعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when Allah decides and brings about His command in the heavens, and the angels hit their wings together or flap their wings together in submission to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala or to His statement or to His speech, it is as if it was chains hitting on rocks. And when the hearts become frightened, they say, and what is this? They say, it is the speech of your Lord. And they will say, your Lord has spoken the truth, and He is Al-Ali Al-Kabir. He is the Most High and the Great. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us one of the events that's going to take place on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to speak. And this is from the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, قال الله تعالى أعددت لعباد الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. Allah ta'ala says, and here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Allah says. And how often do we say that Allah says such and such in the Quran, and Allah says such and such, as we're referring to the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as He said such and such, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said here, I have prepared for my righteous servants that which no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind could ever imagine. And all of the hadith al-Qudsi in general begin with the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال الله تعالى such and such. Or Allah Ta'ala has said such and such, and this is the speech of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and it is not created. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. There are so many ayat, and if we were to quote them, they would be lessons in themselves, and so many ahadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is referring to the speech of Allah by saying Allah said, or Allah will say, or the speech of Allah, and so many ayat and so many ahadith, and we just mentioned a few of them. All of these ayat and these hadith, they show that Allah spoke when He desired to speak, and He speaks whenever He wants to speak, however He wants to speak, the way He wants to speak, and His speech is real, and it is heard by whoever He chooses to hear it from His creation. This speech that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken by, He has informed us that it is true and it is real, and that it is in a manner that is befitting to His Majesty. And I wanted to quote a statement of Ibn Abil Izz, the Hanafi scholar who did the explanation of Al-Aqidat al-Tahawiyya and the metin or the basis of that Aqidah has been translated into English. But I left that book on my desk, so just a quick minute, inshallah. This issue, as Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah goes on to say, indeed the speech of Allah is not created. This issue of the Quran not being created, it was a big issue. I think we had mentioned that many, many, many scholars were killed for saying that the Quran is not created. Many of the scholars were killed for saying that the Quran is not created. And they were killed in oppression. As the truth of the matter is, with the Shaykh, the Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari has said that the Quran is not created, rather it is a characteristic of the Creator. And the characteristics of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala are not created, however everything else is from the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam, and he has Aqidah, and we had translated that Aqidah in one of the lectures, alhamdulillah, he makes the statement, the Quran is the speech of Allah, and whoever says it is created, then he is a kafir. And whoever doubts about his kufr, then he is a kafir too. So Sufyan ibn Uyayna makes the truth very clear. And the verses from the Quran show that they are the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah is not created. When you say the Quran is created, as the people have gone astray have said, what they're saying is Allah is created. Because this is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as He's known by His characteristics. Ibn Abil Izz rahimahullah, Al-Hanafi, he says in his explanation of the Aqidat al-Tahawiyya, rather, the speech of Allah has been preserved in the hearts of men, and it is recited on their tongues, and it is written in the Masahif, or it is written in the books where you call the Quran. Just as Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says in his book called Fiqh al-Akbar, and it's a book about Aqidah, and they doubt the authenticity of that book back to Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. At any rate, he says, or it has been alleged that he says, in all of these places, it is real, or really the speech of Allah. Meaning in the hearts of people, recited on the tongues and in the books, it's all the speech of Allah, the Quran, and it is real. And if it was said, what is written in the Mus'haf, or in the book, is the speech of Allah, then it would be understood in a correct manner. And if it was said, in here is the writing of so-and-so, in here is the handwriting of so-and-so, as we have different scripts from different handwritings of the people who wrote the book of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And when we say it has the handwriting of so-and-so in it, then you would understand that in a correct manner. And when it is said that the ink of the printing press is in there, then you would understand it in a correct manner. And if it is said that inside the Mus'haf is the ink that was used by the author, then you would understand from that a correct understanding. And when we say it is in the Quran, as we said, the speech of Allah is in the Quran, and we said that the handwriting of so-and-so was in that book, and we said that the ink that he used was in that book, and when we look at it, we say that book has ink in it. When we say in, everyone understands what is meant by that. Just as the statement, in this book is the heavens and the earth. In this book is Muhammad and Isa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other things that are mentioned. And we see the separation of all of the different meanings of being in that book. Just as we were saying, we see the handwriting of that particular writer, and it has its particular meaning. And we say that it has the ink of a particular writer, and it has its meaning. And we say that it has the heavens and the earth in it, and it has its meaning. And we say Muhammad and Isa is in it, and it has its meaning. And we say it is the speech of Allah, and it has its meaning. And whoever doesn't see the difference between this, then he has gone astray, and he has not been guided to the truth. He goes on to say, and like we know the difference between the recitation, which is the action of the one who is reciting, from the actual thing that he is reciting, which is the speech of Allah. Whoever doesn't see this, then he is astray. And if it was said to someone, or if it was written on a paper, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهُ بَاطِلٌ, and that means that everything other than Allah is باطل, or falsehood. You would say, if it was written by the handwriting of someone that we knew, we would say that that's so-and-so's handwriting. And we would say that it is the speech of Labid in reality. And all of this would be the truth. And this is informing us of that which is the truth. So don't mix the truth up with anything else. Here, Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi rahimahullah, he's trying to show us, when we say the speech of Allah, we understand that that means the Quran. And if I say that the heavens and the earth is in this book, you would understand what I meant. Not that the whole heavens and the whole earth is put in this book, but you know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had revealed those words from his speech, and it's inside that book. And when we say the speech of Allah is the Quran, is the speech of Allah, and it's in that book, then we understand what is meant. It is the speech of Allah, and it is not created. It is the speech of Allah, and it is not created. As we used to give some examples in the past, if I was reciting a song or singing a song from Stevie Wonder, if I was singing the song, everybody would say, though he's looking right at me sing it, he would say, that's Stevie Wonder's. In the same way, when you hear someone say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. If you ask someone, what did he just hear? He said, I heard the Quran, the speech of Allah, and the speech of Allah is not created. It is a characteristic of the Creator, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. this issue of the Quran, it's a deep issue, and I hope that this was a basic explanation so that we can understand the part of our belief that the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is the characteristic of Allah, and it's not created, as nothing from Allah is created, as He's not created Himself, but He is the Creator and He creates everything else. We said, as we say in the rest of our lessons, that our belief encourages us to do that which is correct, encourages us to do what is right, encourages us to try to earn a place in Jannah. And we should look at some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relationship to this Quran, after we have believed in it, and that we believe that it is the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now it's upon us to recite it and to live our lives in accordance to it. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith of Sahih Muslim, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. And this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, read the Quran, because indeed on the day of resurrection, the Quran would come as an intercessor for you. That the Quran on Yawm al-Qiyamah, by the permission of our Lord, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, would intercede for the person who recited the Quran. And would intercede for the person who read the Quran. That the Quran would say, as an argument for you, as we're going to see in some of the other hadith, O Allah, so and so used to recite me. Allow him to enter into Jannah. O Allah, so and so used to work by me. Allow him to enter into Jannah. This is the intercession of the Quran that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is speaking about. And this is an encouragement for us to not only believe in the Quran as being the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but also to recite the Quran and to work by that which is in the Quran, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 121, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And those who we have given the book, the Quran, they recite it with a proper recitation. They recite it with a proper recitation, as some of the ulama say, and they work by it as it ought to be abided to. Those are the ones that believe in it. Those who recite the book properly with its tajweed, and they work by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down in it as ahkam or verdicts for the life of humanity. They are the ones who really believe in this book. And whoever disbelieves in it, then they are the losers. And whoever disbelieves in it, they are the losers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the real people who believe in the Quran, they're the people who recite it properly. And this is an encouragement for all of us to learn some Arabic and how to read the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because the people who really believe in it, they recite it properly. And then they also work by it. And they also work by it. And even if you have a difficult time reciting the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, everyone has the ability to work by that which is in it. And even if you have the difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you. Rather, He's going to reward you even more than the person who doesn't have the difficulty reciting the Quran, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says in the hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَعَ سَفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, the one who reads the Quran and he has mastered its recitation by reading it along with the noble, righteous angels, and also the one who reads the Quran and he's stumbling over it and he's finding difficulty to read it, both of them, they will have two rewards for reading the Quran. Meaning the one, like the reciters of the Quran, Al-Husri rahimahullah, and Al-Abdul Basir rahimahullah, and Al-Minshawi rahimahullah, and all of the other reciters of the Quran who have mastered the recitation of the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ubay ibn Ka'b, and the other companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, who have mastered the recitation of the Quran, they will be rewarded with two rewards. And for us, those who struggle in trying to read the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that they will be rewarded doubly for trying to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are hadith from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, encouraging us to read the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and not to be fooled by shaitan. And shaitan comes in the form of jinn and mankind. Shaitan comes in the form of jinn and mankind. Shaitan just isn't some invisible creature that you don't see. Some of the people walking around are shayateen. Some of the people walking around are shayateen. And I can give you an example of one of them, maybe you saw him. He says, you're going to read the Quran in Arabic and you don't even understand what you're saying? That was a shaytan. If you saw him, he was a shaytan. Because listen to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever reads one letter from the Book of Allah, whoever reads one letter from the Book of Allah, then he will be rewarded with a blessing or a good deed. And good deeds are 10 times themselves. And I'm not saying that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but Alif is a letter, Mim is a Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us the good deeds that we're trying to build up in our scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that we can build them up by reciting the Book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So where's the shaitan to tell us why you're going to read the Book of Allah and you don't understand it? Because we're seeking the reward of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then we can go to the translation or we go to the masjid and we learn the understanding of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to live by it in our lives, and then we live by it. Just because you read the Quran and you don't understand it, there's people who can explain the Quran to you. As we find in the translation and we find from some of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed to learn the Arabic language and that speaks our language, that can translate some of it into our language and to tell us what it means so that we can work by it in our lives. But just the recitation itself is for our benefit, to read it, to get our reward with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as reciting the Quran is worship of Allah. Recitation of the Quran is worship of Allah. Yes. The brother is asking, are there any blessings in listening to the Quran? I don't know of any particular hadith that would say that there is a particular reward for listening to the Quran, as we have these hadith that says whoever reads the Quran has a particular reward, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But there is a hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to recite to him the Quran. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to recite the Quran to you, and the Quran is being revealed to you. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I just like to hear other than myself recite it. I like to hear other than myself recite it. So here, in this hadith, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was reading Surah An-Nisa to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, until he got to verse number 41, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِن كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and how is it when we bring a witness to every nation, and we have made you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a witness over them, meaning over the rest of humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tears began coming out of his eyes, and he told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Hasbuk, that is sufficient for you. So here it seems, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the finest example for the believers, as Allah tells us, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And you will find in the Messenger of Allah the finest example. We see from his example that he loved to listen to the Quran being recited, though the Quran was revealed to him, and he was the one to teach humanity how to recite the Quran and how to understand the Quran and how to live the Quran in their lives and to apply it. in a manner that is be pleasing to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So I don't know of any particular reward except that we would be following the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says in the hadith collected by Imam Muslim, يؤتى يوم القيامة بالقرآن وأهله الذين كانوا يعملون به في الدنيا تقدمه سورة البقرة وآل إمران تحاجان عن صاحبهما. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Quran will be brought on the day of resurrection, and also the people of the Quran, the people who used to work by the Quran. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us who really are the people of Quran. They're the people who work by that which is in the Quran. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and those who used to work by the Quran in this world, and in the head of the surahs that will be brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah is Surah al-Baqarah in Ali Imran. They will be an argument or proof for the people who read them, as these will be the biggest sources of defense for the person who read them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, trying to intercede on their behalf in front of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, saying, oh Allah, overlook that sin, because he used to read Surah al-Baqarah. Oh Allah, overlook that sin, he used to read Surah Ali Imran, and like that for the rest of the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the other hadith of Imam Muslim says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضْعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. That indeed Allah will raise people by this Quran, meaning raise them to a particular status in this dunya and in the hereafter, as we mentioned in the hadith, or as we're going to mention in the hadith, and the hereafter also, by means of this Qur'an, and he will humiliate other people by means of this Qur'an. Here, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he had recited or quoted this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular instance, where it would help us to understand what is meant by raising some people by this book, and humiliating or lowering some people by this book. There was one of the leaders of the battles that conquered some cities. And when he conquered a particular city, that was a very important city, and it was a big battle, and it was a big victory for the Muslims. After he conquered the city, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote him a letter and said, make the slave so-and-so, the ex-slave so-and-so, the leader of the city. You can imagine how he felt. Umar, are you sure you're mistaken? I conquered this city. It was a big battle. This is a big victory for the Muslims. You're telling me to put ex-slave so-and-so as the leader, the Amir of this great city? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu quoted to him the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed Allah will raise some people with this Qur'an, and that ex-slave was the hafiz of the Qur'an. And he will humiliate or lower some other people. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he had a lot of love for the people who have memorized the book of Allah, the Qur'an. And he's the one who quoted this hadith, showing us the virtue of the Qur'an, and that whoever memorizes the book of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, then Allah would raise him to a particular status because of what he has memorized from the speech of Allah, the Qur'an. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ, that the best of you are the ones who learn the Qur'an and teach the Qur'an. And I think I had mentioned before that one of the tabi'een or the tabi'u tabi'een, that when they heard this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, after I heard that, I didn't do anything else in my life other than learn the Qur'an and teach it. I didn't do anything else in my life. After I heard this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of you are the ones who learn the Qur'an and teach it, I didn't do anything in my life after I heard that hadith except learn the Quran and teach it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make someone from among us like this companion or the tabi'i who heard this and made learning the Quran and teaching the Quran a part of his life. And the hadith of Abu Dawood, and we'll make this the last hadith inshaAllah ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلْ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. And this authentic hadith by Abu Dawood, collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will be said to the companion of the Qur'an. And here, the ulama of Islam, they say, this, it will be said to them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment. It will be said to the people of the Qur'an, read the Qur'an, and recite it beautifully, the way you used to recite it beautifully in the dunya. Meaning recite it with its tajweed, and in your best voice, the way that you used to do it in the dunya. Because indeed, your level in Jannah will be at the level of the last ayat that you read. Your level in Jannah will be at the last ayat that you read. Meaning of the 6,600 or whatever, how many ayahs there are in the Qur'an, that every ayat you read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would raise you a level in Jannah. And we know that Jannah is degrees. And that the best degree is al-firdaus al-a'la, the highest degree is firdaus, where the best people would be, and then lower degrees and lower degrees and lower degrees. So here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to seek that reward in Jannah by reciting the book of Allah, the Qur'an, and memorizing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that it can defend us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and it can raise us to the levels that it can raise us in Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. And that is the explanation of the statement of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah. And we say, indeed, the speech of Allah is not created. And he, subhanahu, never created anything except that he said to it, be, and it is. And here, this is one of the proofs of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari. He's saying that Allah never created anything except he said to it, be, and it is. And Allah never said, be, and it is, and there was the Qur'an. But be and it is a part of the Qur'an. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said in the ayat that we translate, and we only say to a thing when we want it to take place, is our statement be and it is. From Surah An-Nahl, verse number 40. And Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he goes on to say, and there can be nothing good or bad in the earth except that it is by the will of Allah. And things are only by Allah Azza wa Jal's will. And no one is able to do a thing before Allah does it. And we are not able to go outside of Allah Azza wa Jal's knowledge. Here the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he's showing us that good and bad are by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that everything is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His decree, and that nothing could take place except that Allah allows it to take place, good or bad. And Allah isn't questioned about what He does, but you're going to be questioned about what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, showing us this point, as he's speaking to his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and then to the rest of the ummah, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرَّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his messenger to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I command you to say, I do not possess any power over myself for any good or any bad, and if except from that which Allah wills. And if I had knew the unseen, then I would have had all good for myself and no bad would have come to me. I am only a warner and a giver of glad tidings to a people who believe. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's the best of creation, that good and bad isn't in His hands alayhi salatu wa salam. Good and bad aren't in your hands except by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That no one could allow anything good to take place or anything bad to take place except that Allah allowed it to take place. And He told His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make a statement to the people that would be a clear proof to let them know they don't control good or bad. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I knew the unseen, if I knew what was going to take place, I would have all good for myself and no bad for me. And this is the proof to us. If you can make good happen, and you can stop bad from happening, or you can make bad happen and stop good from happening, then all good will come to you and no bad would afflict you. And this is like the people of voodoo and magic. They think they have some power for good and bad. Tell me what they're going to do, as we saw in the example of the past, where they said so-and-so is the magician. He could take his head off and put it back on. They said, where is he? He snuck up behind him and cut his head off with his sword, whoosh, and said, put your head back on. And this is the same thing that can be done today to any sorcerer or magic or voodoo doll worker or whatever. Shoot him in the back of his head and then tell him, take the bullet out with your magic. No good and bad could happen except by the decree of Allah. And if it was in our hands, good and bad, only good would happen to us and no bad would happen to you. And there's no one who has all good for him and no bad. And this is the proof that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us to show us that no one is in control of good and bad except that which Allah has decreed. And this is to show that everything is from the decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, just as Allah says in another verse, which is almost similar to that verse from Surah Yunus, verse number 49, where Allah says, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ إِذَا جَاءَ أَجُلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقِدِمُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is talking to the whole ummah here. As we saw in the first verse, He was talking to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in specific, and then the rest of the ummah. Letting the Prophet give you the proof that he is the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam with revelation. And if he can't control the good or bad, who else after him is going to control it? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the ummah, where He said, I command you to say, I do not command for myself harm or benefit. And in the other verse it was, I don't control for myself benefit or harm, except that which Allah pleases. And here's the proof. For every nation is their time, when it's going to be over. And when their time comes, there's no delaying it, and there's no making it come before its time. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the argument. Good and bad is not in your hands. It's by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if you think you have the control to do good and bad, like the stupid Fir'aun, who said, bring me a man, kill him. Bring me another man, let him go. See, I give life and I take death. This is stupidity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges you, when your time comes, delay it. Or make your time come before Allah has determined your time of death. And no one has control over when he's going to die and when he's going to live. One person can get shot in the head and live, and one person gets shot in the head and die. It's a miracle. We don't know how he lived. He lived by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Somebody break their toe, have a simple operation, die. I don't know how he died. By the will of Allah. Life and death are in the hands of Allah, and this is the biggest proof, or among the bigger proofs, that no one has control for good or bad. Otherwise, you bring death to yourself when you want it, and you would live to when you wanted to. And no one is in control of their lives, as even on the issue of suicide. How many people have committed suicide and haven't died? Allahu Akbar. And I know a brother, he slit his wrist over this girl. He slit his wrist for her because he couldn't take life no more because she quit him. He didn't die though. When he fainted and passed out, they got him to the hospital fast enough, he lived. No one has control of taking their life. When he found out he was still alive, the next opportunity he got, he split his wrist again, and he still lived. After that, he realized, maybe I better live. Anyway, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one control life for themselves or death for themselves. Except by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, nothing takes place. Nothing, good or bad or otherwise, takes place except by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is a point that can't be emphasized enough. And I'll give you the advice that one of my friends, one of our brothers in Islam, Al-Hassan, and he's from Plainfield, New Jersey, he told me, advise the brothers that success is by Allah. The final result or the consequences is in the hands of Allah. It's only upon them to do the work. And that's it. It's only upon us to do the work. If we're worshiping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and doing that which is right, if we don't establish everything that whoever establishes, doesn't mean that you're not successful. The consequences or the results are in the hands of Allah. The work is in your hands. And Allah is going to hold you accountable for what you do and not for the results. As we gave the example, Allah commands us to give da'wah, to call the people to Islam. If the people accept Islam, alhamdulillah, and if they don't accept Islam, alhamdulillah, Allah is only going to hold you accountable for calling the people to Islam. If you call them to Islam, you're successful. And if you didn't, you're a loser. Not that if you call someone to Islam and he didn't accept it, then that means you're a loser. You call 500 people to Islam, no one accepted Islam. Does that mean that your da'wah is no good?